Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
It's QB week. Baltimore's Lamar Jackson, Minnesota's J.J. McCarthy, and Arizona's Kyle Murray are all expected to be back in action for each of their squads after missing time with injury.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sportsbooks, an injury ruins your whole football parlay, but not on Fanatics. They have fair play insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
We are awaiting Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes as soon as they step up to the old podium or dais, whatever. We will go out there. And you'll hear him right here on
there
Cody
used to
and Gold.
Be somebody on the text line that used to correct that.
There is a difference, but it doesn't freaking matter. It's one of the two, okay? It's one of the two. They'll
and everybody
be up there.
Universally agrees to call both of them podiums. Can I say maybe it was like...
By the way, the text line is down, so we're not ignoring you. We appreciate it.
That's
why I asked you to text in to see if it was working, and it's not. So for the last 30 minutes, we haven't seen your text. Apologies. Working on it.
Maybe it was... What do we think? 2 weeks ago, we did a lesson on spotting AI.
Uh-huh.
I think it was important. This lesson became very important yesterday. If you noticed, FanDuel clearly put out a piece of AI content.
The
and that is
10.
The only explanation I can give for what they put out. FanDuel put out, the throne in Chiefs Kingdom belongs to Patrick Mahomes with their list of Kansas City's top 10 players of all time. I want you to now look. We'd all have a different list. I'd probably have more modern
is
players
in
based
order?
On their recent.
This
is in order.
Okay.
Number one, Patrick Mahomes nailed it. No problem. No complaints. We're good. Number two, Trent Green.
Okay.
As there's so the list is already problematic.
And look, Trent Green, great player, great guy.
He's not the
should
second.
Should not be the second best player.
He's not in the top
history.
10 of best players in franchise history.
Yeah.
And then goes Tyreek Hill and Derek Thomas. Look, it depends on where you put Derek Thomas. He was one of the most dominant players of his era.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill is their best wide receiver probably in their franchise's history, so maybe someplace on the list. Chris Jones. It then puts Jamal Charles 7, Neil Smith 8, Willie Lanier 9, and Travis Kelce 10.
Yeah, the list is a disaster.
It's got so many problems.
There's people missing. Obviously, in order, Kelce should be much higher.
Travis Kelce's the second best player in their franchise's history, right? He's got Super Bowl rings, and he's going to go down statistically. He's the greatest player in his position ever.
Yeah, that would put him in that spot where he should be. Mahomes 1, Travis 2, Lynn Dawson should also. Where's Lynn Dawson's name on this
he's
thing?
Not I'll on be honest, the list. Cody. I think that
Lynn Dawson's is not on the top 10.
You said that list came from FanDuel. Yeah, I think that might be somebody's actual list. If they don't know the
you
Chiefs,
don't think,
I think that I could see
that.
How about
Trent Green? His son make the list?
All I'm saying is I could see somebody actually making that list who doesn't live in Kansas City, doesn't know the Chiefs, and just knows Trent Green from, hey, I used to watch that guy play.
I love Trent Green. He was a great quarterback.
I understand that, but I
feel
think
like people
that,
know Lynn Dawson's name, though, even if you're outside of Kansas.
He won a Super Bowl. He's got one of the most iconic sports photos.
I didn't know who Lynn Dawson
photos.
Was until I moved to Kansas
You
didn't? City.
Okay. Okay.
He's all got right. one of the most all iconic right. sports photos of all time, I thought. Maybe that's just here.
The list is a mess. Obviously, Lenny should be on there. Some other guys shouldn't. There's a few guys that should be way higher on the list.
Travis, obviously, higher than 10.
Yeah, that's a mess of a list. It's a mess of a list. I saw that they put these out for a bunch of teams yesterday, so I think you're correct that they did a quick AI thing, kicked it out, won an engagement on their
ChatGPT, create me the top 10 list of Chiefs players.
I mean, they are missing. By the way, you said, where's Lynn Dawson? They didn't mention Tony Gonzalez didn't make the list.
He should be on there as well.
Tony Gonzalez is another player that absolutely is one of the 10 best players to ever put on a Chiefs uniform.
Yeah, it's
like, there's
a lot of stuff to fall for these days, you know? As we fell for,
you said Willie Lanier was on there.
Lanier was,
yeah, like an 8 or 9, I think.
Bobby Bell was.
There's an argument that Emmett Thomas should be in consideration. I mean, there's
Bobby Bell's probably got because he's still like the all time, like he's got a lot of all time defensive stats for them. But
Pro Football Hall of Famer. Anyway, let's go out to Arrowhead and hear from Andy Reid.
As far as the guys not practicing, Hollywood's sick, won't practice. Pacheco with his knee won't practice. And then Josh will be out. Other than that, everybody is going to go. Trey's going to give it a whirl. He did the walkthrough this morning, so we'll just see how he does. Look forward to the challenge of playing Buffalo again. It's all right, Matt. Look forward to the challenge of playing Buffalo. We know they're a good football team. There's a lot of history between the two teams over the last few years. And it's been a good battle every time that we have an opportunity to play each other. So Sean does a great job with that crew, and he's got a solid, very good coaching staff and good players. So we've got to have a good week of preparation going forward here. With that, time's yours.
Hey, Andy, the trade deadline's coming up next week. Can you just discuss with us kind of how you handle this with Brett Beach and kind of how these conversations go over the next few days?
Yeah, Brett does all that. I mean, he and then if he gets to a point where something's up and he feels comfortable about it, then he hits me up on it. So, but he takes care of all that. Those guys are, I mean, you know how Brett's wired, so he's endlessly looking for people and trying to bring people on and make us better. So that's how he goes about it.
Do you envision that they check injury long term or just for day by day?
Yeah, I don't think so. So we'll just see how he's moving around, you know. But he's a tough kid. So, there was a point there where he wanted to go back in, and I wouldn't let him. So, you know, but that's how he's wired. I have to cut his leg off to stop him.
Coach, the interception Patrick threw kind of on the back shoulder, is that part of like, you know, him just being more aggressive? Is that kind of, you know, I mean, you never want to turn over, obviously, but is that kind of part of him just trusting the receivers more and maybe, you know, trying to be more aggressive?
Yeah, I'd probably say the trusting part. He's got to trust that the guys will make that play. It didn't work out for Hollywood there or Pat, but that's something that we've seen in practice and done in practice. We've had a couple in games, back shoulder throws. So, but yeah, I tell you, I would put more on the trust in the guys than anything.
Andy, what concerns you most about Buffalo, just as a team in general?
Yeah, well, I mean, their offense is special, and obviously the quarterback is, you know, one of the best in the league, what he does, and he's got a great surrounding crew starting up front and moving on back. And then defensively, their front is, again, they can bring it. They've got a solid front, and their linebackers, secondary, I mean, they're well coached, the scheme, both sides of the ball. Special teams, they're solid there too, well coached. Chris does a nice job with that crew. And so they're just an all-around good football team. There's not a whole lot of weaknesses there.
Yeah. How better suited is Kareem for if it comes to a lead back role maybe this year than he was last year, just considering the circumstances?
Yeah, probably in better shape. I'd say just overall better shape. Not that he was in terrible shape before, but he's had a year to do it and get back in the swing after having a little bit of a layoff there.
Is there any reason Isaiah couldn't go this weekend? You've had Elijah this season on the field. He hasn't had a chance to be active. What have you seen from Elijah, and what's kind of kept him in that role, at least, where he's been in the depth chart?
Yeah, so he had a severe injury at one point, and a lot of guys wouldn't even come back from this thing, and he battled back, and you could see him just get better every week during camp and then progressing through to now. He takes a lot of the reps on with the scout team group. So I would tell you that, you know, we all have confidence in his playability for sure.
Andy, when you look at Sean McDermott's team on tape, what are some mentalities or characteristics when you see, like, that's a McDermott team right there?
Yeah, tough, well-coached. He gets all phases involved, you know. He's a very, very thorough. I had him when he was a pup. I joke, I had him when he had hair. So, but he's a very, very detailed in how he goes about things.
Sam?
Andy, your big plays on Monday were plays that Patrick progressed through his reads. What have you just seen as development through that this year?
He's always been pretty good with doing that. It's a matter of the time that he's had to be able to get through those things. I think you have to include some of that. But again, his ability to do it on the move is unique. You see a little bit of that from Josh too. I mean, those guys, they both can do that. But he's got great vision. I know Troy Aikman mentioned him. He goes, Troy was a quarterback, great quarterback. So he goes, man, his vision is unbelievable. And that's from a guy that's been there. He says he seems to see everything, and he's blessed with that part. Yeah.
How much is that progression earned by the offensive line, kind of proving it to Mahomes as the season goes along?
Yeah, say it again.
How much is it earned almost by the offensive line to show Pat, you're going to have the time?
Yeah, that's I'd say that's important for the offensive line to gain that trust. I've just kind of flipped that one over, and the O-line takes a lot of pride in that, and they want to be able to keep him in there as long as they possibly can. Now, we've played, and I'd add this crew to the mix, we've played this string of defensive lines that are really good players. And for Pat to have that trust is huge. Yeah.
Sorry. Coach, kind of on that front, I mean, I know Oliver's going to be up at the edges for Buffalo, that they're deep and good.
Yeah.
Seen to rally in the game. How is he, give us an update on how he's settling in and handling all the different guys that he has to see?
Yeah, I thought he just buckled down and really got himself right there. He's a big kid, strong kid. I didn't think he was utilizing that at the best at the beginning, but he found his way to do that and trust himself against in that situation. So, and that's I think that's another growing phase for him in this offense. And we ask him to do a lot of things, and he's got a great attitude about it. So, but I think he could take something out of that. That'll help.
Coach, turnovers are always big, obviously. Are they even bigger on the road, big turnovers on the road, especially in a place like Buffalo where you just got to make sure you're taking care of
them? Turnovers are terrible. I mean, those are when you're talking about winning and losing football games. So you it's hard to overcome those. You know, and every week I give the guys the stats of the other team and win-loss and how many, you know, whether they've won the turnover battle or lost a turnover battle. And if you lose a turnover battle, the majority of the time, you're losing the football game. And that's just how it goes. You've got to take care of the football.
Last two, Nate and Blair. Go ahead, Nate.
Any appears that you guys have brought in Mike Pinnell today in the hopes of bringing him back. If that indeed happens, just what can he bring to your defensive line at this point in the middle of the season?
Yeah, that's Veach is all over that stuff. I haven't seen Mike Pinnell, so I don't. But he was a good kid when he was here and a good player. So you know, if he's back up, that's great. Another good player in there. And he's got a good attitude. You guys know him. I mean, he's got a good attitude and all that. So, but Brett, I've been cramming. I mean, we're on a short week, so all of that stuff is out there. I don't want to say I don't care, but I'm trying to take care of the other part of it.
Andy, obviously, great success on fourth down this season, but your defense has also been very good on fourth down. What goes into that?
Yeah, the job that they did this past week was special, and that was very important in that game, the first half of the game. So anytime you can get off the field like that or have a turnover, I think is big for you.
All right, so that was Andy Reid speaking live here on KFNZ, FM and AM, HD1, HD2, Kansas City, and Odyssey Station. It's Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan. We're going to hear from Patrick Mahomes in just a couple minutes. A couple things at the very beginning of that on the injury front. Trey Smith, good news, at least going to give it a go today. The follow-up tomorrow will be the bigger story.
I think so.
Does the back flare up again after practicing for a full day? If he's good today and tomorrow he's a full participant, then it seems like they've gotten over that hurdle. Otherwise, if tomorrow suddenly he's not practicing or limited again, then we can be more concerned about his availability. Other than that, Hollywood Brown illness or sick or whatever, I'm not worried.
They know they got the bye after this, so just as long as he's feeling pretty good, he'd have a little bit of extra time to rest up before the game against Denver. And again, because they are the number one defensive line in the NFL in the sacks department, I would say you'd like a good complement of most of your healthy offensive line going into that game. And because there is no clarity on, and there probably won't be until he's just back,
right,
when Simmons will return, we have to keep wondering about that. Absolutely.
Don't forget, on Wednesdays, our lunch partner, our friends over at Jefferson's, whether it's football season, baseball season, you name it, there's no better place to watch your favorite team than Jefferson's. Great daily specials, great happy hour locations in Lenexa, up in North KC, over in Lawrence, Topeka, and Joplin. Jefferson's wings, burgers, oysters, and each and every Wednesday at this time, it's your chance to win a $50 gift card over at Jefferson's. Drew, we'll do caller. What do we see?
In honor of the second greatest chief of all time, maybe you should do Trent Green's.
you want to do that?
10.
We can do 10. I was gonna go with Cincinnati's three wins or whatever it is, but we can 10. Caller 10, Drew. 913-586.
That's a joke from someone we were saying earlier. I don't
7965. Yeah, that is definitely a joke.
If somebody
from
just tuned in, they're like, did Cody just say Trent Green was the second greatest chief of all time?
It's a joke from a graphic that was on social yesterday. 913-586-7965. Caller number 10, taking home a gift card to Jefferson's. We're going to hear from Mahomes in the next couple of minutes see if he's asked more about the interception that he had. I mean, overall, he's playing at an insane rate. We went over this yesterday, some of his better numbers and stretches since 2021/2022. But Andy was asked about, you know, the interception where it was intended for Hollywood Brown. Great pick from Lattimore too, but
was,
you know, on that one, is Mahomes just being more aggressive too? Because now he's like, I got all these guys that can make plays.
Time to let loose, and I can actually give my, and look, sometimes you should give your receiver a chance. I'd point out, more aggressive is relative. He leads the NFL in passing touchdowns. He's not that far off in passing yards. He has four interceptions this year, and two of them are off the hand of Travis Kelce.
Right.
So in eight games, he has personally thrown two picks. Like, I know he has four, but like, we all have eyes and know what happened in the other two interceptions. They were off their guy's hands. So like, he has personally thrown two balls. One was the one that cost him the Jags game, unfortunately. And the other one was one that didn't end up costing him, but ended up being a dangerous throw and a really good play got made. if he doesn't make a really good play, maybe you just get away with it. You get to live to fight another day, you know?
But yeah, I think the one thing that
I'll
has...
I'll take the chances sometimes.
Yeah, I'll definitely take the reward, if you will, on the risk-reward assessment. I think the last couple weeks, even if it hasn't always resulted in an interception, you could still say there has been a play in which the opposing team has had a chance to pick Patrick Mahomes off at least once a game. That has been a thing. But I think the risk is worth what we're seeing reward-wise, which is him playing backyard football again and all that, which is still what makes him so special too.
Do you know, that stat that we've talked about from Pro Football Focus, interceptable passes. Do you know that their tracking statistic on that suggests that interceptable passes are only picked off half the time, like 50%. So like that interceptable? Kinda, but it's still a 50-50 proposition. So when Mahomes is taking those chances, what are we talking about? A 50% chance? For him, it's got to be less than that historically, based on just how good of a quarterback he is. That doesn't factor in, like what Ross Tucker was talking about when they go for it on fourth down. The Chiefs make more sense to be an aggressive team because all the metrics that say you should go for it more are based on teams that aren't the Chiefs. The Chiefs would be a more logical team to go for it even more just based on their offensive success, the players they have, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, everything, you know?
The other thing we know from yesterday and the reports out there, Mike Pinnell back in Kansas City today for a visit. Andy Reid, we all know the response you're going to get there. You still got to ask the question, but obviously...
He's not technically signed yet.
Yeah, so he's saying, Veach is handling that. Look, barring something surprising happening, Mike Pinnell is going to sign back with the team today.
Yes.
They'll put out a social media graphic saying, welcome back, Mike.
Chris Jones will send out a tweet.
Chris Jones will be excited. Because it was just a few weeks ago where Chris Jones was saying, I got to get my guy back. He was still employed by the Cincinnati Bengals at the time. He just got released. They agreed to release him yesterday, Cincinnati did. And he's going to sign back with Kansas City and going to give them some depth on the interior and hopefully help them in some run situations when they're going to face a James Cook, when they're going to face a Jonathan Taylor.
They face the four leading rushers in the NFL as of this moment. In the next four games consecutively. I'm not saying it will be that in every single one they face, but it's 1, 2, 3, and 4. Cook, Taylor, not in that order.
Yeah, I got you.
Cook, Taylor, Javonte Williams, who is currently in the top, and J.K. Dobbins, who's currently in the top 10 in leading rushers in the NFL. So, yeah. I mean, they got a lot of people coming their way. Wouldn't hurt to have one more run stuffer. They were planning on Omar Norman Lott. And you and I both think, we'll talk more trade stuff tomorrow, but I don't think this should prohibit them, will prohibit them from making a move. That's all.
All right, let's go back out to Arrowhead and hear from Patrick Mahomes.
Just Tuesday, you have a little bit longer day on Tuesday where you go back and you have to watch kind of twice the games you would usually do on a when you have Monday and Tuesday. But you have a good familiarity with this team, obviously, with how many times we've played them and the coaches and the defenses that they play, but they do a good job of being game plan specific every single year. And so I think there's just a lot of great football players that we're going up against, and we know it's take our best football. I think that's the biggest thing I've learned from this rivalry is that it's going to be one play here or there that's going to change the outcome, and you have to go out there and make it.
How has Graham showed you that he's capable of being the lead guy over the last calendar year if it does come to that?
Yeah, I mean, every time he's in there, it seems like good things happen. Obviously – his track record speaks for itself as far as the way he's been able to play this year, but in previous years as well. And so we'll see where we get to on that. But at the same time, we have confidence that if his number's called, he'll be ready for it.
I asked you after the game about your second, third reads. Is that something you can consciously work on in the offseason during the week? What's the preference?
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely work on it just through reps, through drills and stuff like that, of just kind of having different things that you use with the coaches of code words and stuff for them to make you have to kind of be on one read and reset to the next one and make the throws and stuff like that. And so the coaches do a great job of that all off season and during the season as well. And so we try to make sure that we're in the right space so I can be better at it each and every year.
Comfort behind this offensive line, how much does that factor into your ability to do that?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, when you know you're getting the time and get the time to sit in the pocket and kind of go through your reads and make that stuff happen, it gives you confidence that you're seeing the right stuff. And if you have confidence, then you can kind of go out there and throw it the way you want to throw it. And I think that's huge, and that it all starts up front with the O-line.
Patrick, once you get here, you're going to play whatever's on the schedule, right? Buffalo's next, you have the amount of time. But the schedule comes out, you look at it and go, and you guys last year happened to play every day of the week except for Tuesday. You look at the schedule and go, oh, really, Buffalo on a short week, we couldn't have fit that in? Is there anything that goes through your head when you see that on there?
No, not really. I mean, I think everyone deals with it. I mean, obviously, we're going up against a great football team. But, I mean, you kind of, that's part of playing in the NFL, is you have to be able to be ready for sudden changes like that. Or, I mean, that could happen to you in the playoffs. So what another opportunity to be on a short week against a great football team and see how your team responds. And so it's stuff that you can learn from and build from. And so I'm just excited to get to go up again and play in a big game in a great environment.
Patrick, since you've been there enough, do you enjoy playing in Buffalo? And what's that environment like compared to, you know, other road games that you see consistently on the schedule?
I mean, they don't like us. I mean, that's pretty – they do not like the Chiefs. But, I mean, it is a cool environment. I love playing in, like, historic stadiums. And that stadium has had so many great players play in it. And who knows, it might be the last time that we get the opportunity to play there. It'll be a great challenge for us, and they're loud, and that's what you want. You want to go in and be in a hostile environment. That's what football, when you watch on TV as a kid growing up, is the environments you want to play in. And so obviously they're not rooting for us, but you get to bond together as a team and get to go into a historic stadium and play in a great environment.
The rivalry's been unique, and like, it seems like they always get the regular season, and you guys get the better of them in the playoffs. And what do you make of that uniqueness, I suppose?
I don't know, honestly. I mean, it all the games come down to like one. I think other than like two games that we've played against each other, every single game comes down to like one play here or there that someone has to make, if that's offense, defense, whatever it is. And so I think it just comes down to players making plays in big moments, and that's kind of worked out for us in the playoffs, and worked out for them in other times. To me, it's just about the next time. It's about going out there and playing against a great football team and knowing that it's not like we can think that's going to happen again. You got to go out there and play with your best ability that next time you get the opportunity to.
Patrick, as a quarterback, when you're watching Josh Allen, is there something he does that you watch and go, man, I wish I could do that like he does, or something impressive that you know?
No, I mean, to be that size and be able to move like that, I mean, I think he's done so many great things as far as throwing the football and stuff like that, but the way he's able to extend plays and get close to the sideline and make these big time throws down the field, that stuff is special. And so he's gotten better and better each and every year. I think that's something that I've seen in him, and so that's something that I try to do for myself as well. And so he's a great football player.
Patrick, what stands out to you about this Bills defense on tape?
Yeah, I think they're extremely talented. They're extremely well coached. They do the right thing. They're always in the right spot. It's not like they have any busted coverages or anything like that. And then they have a good sense of what you're trying to do. So if that's even the linebackers moving to the right zones at the right time, or DBs kind of the same, or D linemen even getting the hands up and being in the right spot that you want to throw the football, they do a great job of that. And I mean, they're well coached, and they have a lot of great football players. And so it's always a great challenge for us, and you have to make sure that you're locked in the entire game, or they're gonna capitalize on your mistakes.
And when you go into a hostile environment like that, what type of mentality do you have to have on that field?
I think it's cool, honestly, just because, like, you have to bond together as a team. And I mean, you do that at Arrowhead, but you kind of have the crowd behind you. And whenever stuff isn't going well, you can kind of feed off the crowd and stuff like that. Whereas when you're on the road, you just have your teammates. You have your teammates and your coaches, and you kind of have to bond together. And there's going to be adversity, and it's how you can bond together and come out on the other side of that and come out on the right way with a win.
Was there an easy answer for the idea that you seem to have – as good as, if not better, stats in road games than home games?
I think it's just like I said. You go on these trips, and like even more than the football games, just being on the plane and then being in the hotel and stuff like that. You kind of build this culture and this team. And so it's cool whenever you step on that football field, and everybody's against you, and you know you just have your brothers behind you, and it takes everybody. And I think it's just been special that we've been able to do that, play these road games and win these games. It's because this team comes together, we go out there and play our best football, even on the road sometimes.
One of the things that's a thread with your losses in the regular season for Bills has been turnovers. You guys have been high minus in most of those games. And not all turnovers are the same. Sometimes you get got, sometimes the ball just bounces the wrong way. When you think back to these games, which one of those is more like it? Like, they made some nice plays, or you guys made mistakes? How do you characterize those?
No, that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, even, I mean, turnovers are one thing, but just in general, like, if you don't stay locked in the entire game, they capitalize on the mistakes. And if that's even, like, just a little missed assignment or a missed throw that you need to make to kind of keep ahead of the chain, stuff like that, they get you in third and long, and then they come up with some type of blitz that's unscouted, and they blitz you, and all of a sudden you give them the ball back to them, and that's a great offense. And so – They do a great job of just capitalizing on your mistakes, having little wrinkles here and there so that you're never really comfortable at the quarterback position. And so you have to be locked in the entire time. And when it's not there, you have to find ways to get to the check down or wherever that is to stay ahead of the sticks so they can't get you off the football field.
Andy was talking about your trust in the receiver. We were talking about the interception when you're going for Hollywood on the back shoulder. How is that play supposed to look?
Yeah, no, that it was a play that we were trying to go over the top, but the Lattimore had great coverage, and I tried to throw the ball and kind of sneak it the back shoulder to him before he got his eyes around, and he got his eyes around and made a great play. And so I have trust in those guys that we're going to make plays happen, and sometimes defenses make plays. That's just kind of part of it, and we learn from that. And so the next opportunity that we have, we're on the same page a little bit better, and we're able to complete the pass and not have interception or whatever the mistake was.
Steve? Patrick, Coach Reed just told us he's really not worried about anything else. He's asked to cram because it's a short week. Do you feel like you spend more time knowing that it's a short week, going to play Buffalo, trying to get everything in?
Not more than I would spend on a normal short week. I mean, just I think usually like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are like the busiest on the short week because you're trying to make up for that Monday. But then by Friday, you kind of have everything done. And so I think the hardest is for Brittany because she knows I'm going to be in the building a lot. So she had a little bit more time with the kids that she's going to be watching all three of them. But other than that, I think it's kind of a normal week after a Monday game.
Are Brittany and the kids ready for Halloween?
They're very ready for Halloween. We're on the countdown. I didn't know there was a countdown to Halloween. I thought it was only Christmas, but every night it's like, how many more nights do we have until Halloween? And so they're very excited. And so I'm trying to knock everything out so that Friday I'm able to go out there and enjoy that with them and get a lot of candy. And I'm sure try not to give them too much of it.
Is there a family Halloween costume that you guys are going to have?
Yeah, it's a surprise. So y'all will see. I'm sure it'll be on Instagram somewhere.
Patrick, just that point you made about sometimes defenses make plays. How hard is it to just get that in your mind, and does that give you perspective on how much you can let go and just be you?
Yeah, I don't know if it's like from playing in the Big 12 and like the air raid or whatever it is. It's just like you always have that next play mentality of like if something bad happens, you got to score the next play. So you got to keep going and keep that mindset going. And so I've never really had a problem with it. It's just like if they make a play, that they're paid to make plays too. Now I'm just trying to find a way to make up for it by going up there and just executing the next play and then kind of keep that mindset. And so interceptions happen, stuff like that happens. I don't want it to happen, but at the same time, what are you going to do about it after?
It helps keep you from being frustrated with yourself in that instance? I mean, is that kind of thing?
As long as we win, I don't care how it looks. So I'll be frustrated after the game if the interception caused us to lose the game, but if we find a way to win the football game at the end of the day, I'll be perfectly fine.
There you go, Patrick Mahomes. Just win. Just win. That's all that matters on Sunday as the Chiefs take on the Bills in Buffalo. Of course, the 3:25 kickoff. We're back from way from the primetime slot for a little while. Are they done? Am I missing it? Is there another? Oh, Christmas Day.
No, Christmas Day. Night. Thanksgiving Christmas Day.
But that's day. I guess it's still prime.
I consider that prime time just because it's Thanksgiving.
Fair enough.
I think we consider those like three Thanksgiving games as like they're all prime time games.
Now,
I guess,
Broncos
in my mind.
Is at night for sure. The one at Arrowhead, of course. On
like
Christmas.
I mean, people probably view that differently. I think I view it that way because it's a standalone game. There's literally no other
one?
Football
it's on a
game.
Is there another one we're missing? I thought they had eight this year. Am I off?
Houston, Sunday Night Football.
That's the other one. Yeah. That's
I don't know if that one's going to stay there.
Flexed? I mean, Houston, we'll see. Can Houston win a couple games heading in? They just won last week against
if they beat Indy this week, then maybe we're having a conversation.
No,
they?
No,
Denver?
They're playing
Denver?
No. Oh, my gosh.
Is it the Broncos?
Is it? Maybe you're right. It is Denver. It is Denver.
Yeah, Broncos.
Yeah.
I was like, they play one of the teams the Chiefs care about.
Yeah, Houston's the other. Houston is the only other night game along with Christmas night remaining.
Yeah, so just three remaining primetime games of the nine they have left on the schedule. Also, I can't believe that Colts game is going to end up sticking at noon.
Good.
Unbelievable.
I love
two massive opponents, we're going to get them in the middle of a noon slated game? That's how bad they thought the Colts were going to be.
If the game's going to be at home, it might as well be at noon is where I'm at. Like for a road game, I actually like the 3:25 because I can red zone channel it up before.
Sure.
But if it's a home game and I'm going, then I'd rather just be at noon and let's just get it over with.
They have three noon games left on the schedule, which is weird for them. Indianapolis, the Chargers on December 14th, and Tennessee.
So the Colts game getting flexed, it's too late now, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, I think you have to give 21 days notice. Maybe it's 14 for
Hold on.
Changing it to 3:25.
Romo and Nance have done a few noon games, too.
Not flex to Sunday Night Football. I'm talking about a move to 3:25. I don't think you actually have to give 21 days if you just say we're changing this slot of the game.
Romo and Nance have done a number of CBS games at noon this year. Like, I think they've done at least two or three nooners. So I feel like that's...
not out of the question?
Yeah, not out of the question.
There's a huge Sunday night football. There's like Tampa Bay and the Rams for the night that you're thinking.
I'm seeing 12.
I don't think Sunday night's getting flexed.
Maybe out. I'm reading the wrong. I'm seeing 12-day notice, but I
okay. So
don't know
100% still in
that.
The
admittedly,
range.
That might not be. But I'm for I, if like I'm reading week, if I'm reading so. It correctly, it sounds like weeks 5 through 13 you have to have 12-day notice.
I do think it was funny. Pat was asked about. Is there anything that Josh Allen does? You're like, man, I really wish that I could do that. He goes, I mean,
be that big, move
to,
that fast?
To be that big, but I mean, yeah, Josh is a great player. Like, he quickly was like,
well,
like,
he's the best quarterback in the league.
I know, which
I
is
do,
why
I do everything.
I'd be all for him there to just say that one time.
It feels
like,
a little.
I mean,
it feels a little
a great
bit
quarterback,
like
I'm the best.
There was a trend a little bit on social media. I think it was mostly on TikTok, where like people were asking their like previous athletic family members if they wish they were more athletic, but it had started to extend to like. There was a clip of like Simone Biles' friend asking her, like, do you ever wish you were more athletic? And she's like, do you know who I
That's
am?
A crazy question.
I'm Simone Biles. Yeah. And so it had started with regular people, Drew, but then it was like other Hall of Famers or this. And somebody asked Simone Biles, and some of the Hall of Famers, like baseball guys, were like, yeah, there's other things I wish people would do it. But Simone Biles was just, I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm maximum athletic. Nobody's more athletic than me.
Olympian. Gold medal, multiple gold medal award winning gymnast. That is kind of like the epitome of athleticism. I think I'm good.
Yeah.
I think
the only thing Patrick Mahomes wish he was Josh Allen's size.
Yeah. Can we pull,
everything else he possesses.
Text line is back up. So we appreciate your interaction. Someone brought up a point about the Colts game. The other reason why it's unlikely to get flexed is they're saying, well, the next week is Thursday, Thanksgiving. They may not want to make the game later.
That might be why. Yeah, that might be why it was at noon.
That might be why it stays at noon.
There you go.
Good point. Part of the reason it was at noon is because Indianapolis they didn't think it was going to matter. Not doesn't matter. They definitely matter now. I almost said that. But at the time, dude, they looked at Daniel Jones and Shane Steichen on the hottest of hot seats, and they were like, eh, we're going to waste our time putting that in prime time? They were wrong on the Colts. A lot of us were. But, like, that's why that game was originally at noon. But, yeah, the Thursday night Dallas game might have an impact on it. Is Dallas playing at noon that time though too? They hardly ever play noon games.
Man, I don't know.
You know?
Cowboys schedule. They play in Dallas at 4:20 at 3:25. So that's
is the game in Dallas?
Yeah, they're not the Cowboys don't have to travel though. I don't know. That
Chiefs don't.
I don't know if they actually thought
to go to Dallas.
Yeah. I don't know if they thought that through exactly to that degree, but
no idea.
If I were the TV people, I think I'd be very tempted by Chiefs Colts. Not at Sunday Night Football. That's Bucks Rams. I think that week. We looked at it. There's not like a logical
What's the rest
game.
Of the slate though? That's, like that, everybody's going to be watching that Chiefs Colts game anyways. Like it might as well be a primetime game at noon.
So week 12 NFL schedule. The other game, so you mentioned Sunday night is Bills Texans. They're not going to flex that out.
It's Bills Texans. I thought it was a different one. Okay. I was going to make some of the Rams one later in the year.
Rams
Bucks?
Sorry. Bills Texans is the Thursday game. My apologies.
Okay.
Sunday night football is Bucks Rams. Yeah, then the other 3:25 games. Falcons, Saints, Eagles, Cowboys. Well, Fox is going to keep that one, even no matter what. So there you go. And then Jags, Cards, Browns, Raiders.
I'm saying, what are the other noon games? Because
Patriots, Bengals, Steelers, Bears, Giants, Lions, Jets, Ravens, Seahawks, Titans, Vikings, Packers, Bills.
Maybe Steelers, Bears can get viewership, but it feels like Colts, Chiefs is
they're
like
gonna
it might
make,
as well be a pro, considered CBS, prime time.
CBS is just going to make Colts, Chiefs the national. It's going to air in every
Most
market
of the
other
country
than
at noon. Yes. We'll get Chiefs, Colts,
and Jim Nance and Romo will be on the call, 100%.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, if it's not your team playing at noon, it'll be Chiefs, Colts. That's all we know. That's fine. I mean, you can have noon games that are big games. It just always throws me off.
Someone says, "Why the F is the text line always broken, fellas?" I don't know. It's working now.
Y'all need to work on your infrastructure. Well, look, I can't. It's not on us.
Yeah. Maybe I want the text line to be back down. I gave you credit on the text line, and now the same person is texting 7 times the same thing. I already said, you know what? That's a good point. Although we already found out that the Cowboys play at 3:25, so that theory may not be true anyway.
No, it's fair. There's a lot of questions in it. I think it was largely at noon because they thought they were going to stink, and they don't always move football games, even if on paper it looks like it's a better one. That's all.
All right. Up next, let's get back into Josh Simmons and Jalen Moore and the dynamic there, including some new details from Albert Breer about where things stand with Simmons, plus the random...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the fan cash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Question of the day. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Yeah, right. That's the third time today, man.
Twice.
Okay.
Yeah, twice. I'll have to go get a towel and a break. Wait, is this a napkin?
You can, yeah. There you go.
Right.
Uh-huh.
No, I was laughing at Rob because we were talking about, he seemed stunned that Drew didn't know about the Halloween party until yesterday.
Oh, the in-office potluck thing.
Yeah. The Drew was like,
Did you determine what you're bringing? We're on remote Friday. We'll be out at Community America Credit Union for a Red Friday tailgate on Halloween. We'll be having some fun out there at one of the Blue Springs branches. But Drew is going to give us the 411 on the potluck Friday and find out what looked edible and what didn't. You know,
says it'll be candy since it's a Halloween, and it says it'll have face painters.
At Community America, yeah.
Yeah, do you want to get your face painted? Is it appropriate for your costume?
No, it wouldn't make any.
Candy tomorrow? That might be what I do.
Yeah, the cost, it would have to be a certain thing painted. Otherwise, it would make no sense for my costume on Friday. All right. And Drew, we cut you off there. What did you say you're bringing?
I might bring candy. It is Halloween after all.
Just bring a bunch of candy.
Yeah, I believe that was mentioned in that they would have trick or treating options available.
Look, Park said that he was going to bring cookies after cookies were already mentioned, so I can bring candy if candy's already mentioned. As far as I'm concerned.
Wow, calling out Parks like that.
Well, he's the one that replied all. So
any
email,
chance?
So
any chance Parks makes those cookies?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think he's going straight to like Hy-Vee.
I will tell him that you said that.
Okay. I mean, I'm not. Parks and I feel like we, like three different times, we've had a little running out here in the hallway. He tries to take a little shot.
Someone said
says,
that
did my wife look at me before I left the house and the way I was dressed. You know, we had to go back and forth a little bit.
He's caught up me as
I
well.
I will say, I swung for a haymaker, which was probably unnecessary because he was just pulling jabs. It was probably unnecessary, a shot I took.
It was strong.
It was a little too strong. I should have come at like 50% there, and I went for the full 100. I've laid off for a while.
You can't count on much, but you could always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with Week 9 matchup between the Chiefs and the Bills. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Before we get to the random question of the day, Jalen Moore continues to start at left tackle. That'll be the case again on Sunday. Josh Simmons got a little more insight from Albert Breer, and now even with Nate Taylor's reporting over the weekend suggesting that there's at least week-to-week communication happening. I'll just read you this from Albert Breer. This came out yesterday. Quote, and some of this we already know, all right? But quote, what I know is that the issue first arose just before the Jags game. Simmons ended up playing in that matchup, then left right before the Lions game. The cited family aspect of his absence is real, and that was part of the background that teams had to work through when he was coming out of college. Here's the other detail that's important. If the Chiefs felt like this was going to be an absence of more than a month, they would have placed him on the non-football injury list. So the timeline as they work with Simmons, and they've been in constant communication with him as of late, has been more week-to-week than long-term. And then he goes on to say, getting Simmons back, another reason to believe the Chiefs are only going to get better. So some of that we already knew. The more interesting part is the cited family aspect of his absence is real. And that was a part of the background that teams had to work through.
I went through and tried to find a report that stated that in his draft stuff. I can't find it. There was some, like, there are concerns about him that aren't just the injury, but they were all stated incredibly vague.
Yeah.
Not that it was about family or any of this other stuff. And, you know, I think some people took that to mean like a lack of desire of football, but that's not what this is certainly indicating.
Yeah, we've tried not to speculate on the exact reasoning. I think the family part there is the most interesting of the report, the cited family aspect. It's not saying a family health emergency. It's not saying a family emergency. It's just the family aspect of his absence.
The only thing I care to know is when he is returning and when you can expect him to be a regular starter. I think someone on the text line earlier be like, what are you trying to get their money back by knowing when? I'm like, I still don't think it's weird to want to know when the starting left tackle is going to return. My entire thing is, I don't think if he doesn't come back after the bye that he is going to have any chance of starting for the Chiefs unless there's significant downgrade in play for Moore or an injury to Moore.
It feels like, though, you would agree based on the updated reporting in the last week, though, that the expectation is now that he is going to return to the team this year.
That certainly is the way they're talking about it, yes.
Because at first it was a complete unknown. Like, is this going to be an all? And now it seems like, it's week to week, so things can change, but it's heading down a path where there's going to be, I don't even want to say resolution because we don't know what the issue is, but you know what I mean? Like, far as what you're saying, though, is at some point, if you miss, let's say it ends up being six games, you know, your chances of starting again, if there's not an injury in the year 2025, are pretty slim.
Yes.
But Jalen Moore, for the first two drives on Monday night, he was getting worked.
Yeah, it was looking a little dicey there.
He was getting work there. And so the level of play is also going to change some of the urgency from the fan base.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as the team, you know, again, it's so hard to say this because we don't know what he's gone for. But, like, the team will have some more urgency, too.
I guess part of this is, like, how will – and this is because it's a somewhat unprecedented situation, it appears – how they will handle the idea of – let's say Jalen Moore has been working hard, practicing hard, doing a good job. Look, and there were some signs there that maybe as a backup player, sometimes you get exposed in long stretches versus short stretches. And so it being the third game you had started, maybe there'll be more problems by the fourth or fifth game you start. And the best defensive line in the NFL, arguably, is coming to town, or you're going to their town in 2 weeks when you take on Denver. So yeah, I am curious. How does the team handle like a guy who has played hard, played good in his spot, has been the starter, and then someone who's just been away from the team for a month and without knowing what has kept Simmons.
No, if Jalen Moore,
they know what's keeping him away from the team.
Either Jalen Moore's play has to become an issue, or they truly think the gap between the two is just so drastic that they're not able to
but
do.
But he's not playing so bad that it feels that.
That's
drastic.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they would just have to think that there's things that they want to do offensively that for whatever reason, like his play doesn't allow them to do that. And I don't think we're there yet. So. Yeah, I mean, it's It doesn't mean long term that you don't become the left tackle again by any means. But in this, the year 2025, there's a chance that he doesn't start at left tackle the rest of the year.
And then I think going into next year, unlike the previous years where we're asking, do they have enough talent at tackle? The question will be, are we good? Like, is whatever happened behind or like in a position where Simmons is expected to be here all the time the rest of the way? And that would largely be solved, Gold, by him being back with the team, whether he starts or not. Being back with the team, participating with the team, and being around the team the rest of the year. So, but I look, I don't think it's crazy to look at Moore's performance, and he wasn't bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Jalen
After
Moore,
the first two drives, he played fine.
Yes. But like,
but the first two drives, he was
still
getting worked.
And still, at no point has he played as good as Josh Simmons was playing. So there was already, it's been a bit of a downgrade. Not a huge downgrade. Not like what they suffered through last year. And that's, again, not what I'm trying to say. But for a guy finally showing, there's a reason sometimes why guys have spent almost none of their time being starting NFL tackles. He has spent a huge chunk of his career not being a starting NFL tackle. So far this year, he's rated as the 61st rated pass blocking.
Someone says
tackle, yeah. And he's been rated as the 29th rated run blocking tackle.
Yeah.
He's 36th overall. He's been actually a perfectly average tackle, which is all we were looking for at the beginning of this year and why they signed Jalen.
Someone says when he's back, he'll start. I don't think that's confident be the case. Like let's say that he the Chiefs play Sunday, they're on a bye, and then the Monday after the bye, he's back in the facility. Great news, right? He's back in the facility. They're getting ready for the Colts. I think that's pretty surprising that Josh Simmons would be back the week of the Colts game and start that week after not being around the team for, at that point, a month.
I think it is very much play dependent. Like, let's say they, like, let's take one layer to what you just said, Gold. They play the Bills and they win. Jalen Moore plays well. And then it's the bye week. You sure? Now let's go the other way. Jalen Moore gets worked in the Bills game and they lose, and he is a huge reason why, because Patrick Mahomes can't stay off his ass. Well, I'll tell you, I think there's a better chance that Jalen Moore is going to start coming out of the bye if that's
or Josh Simmons.
Or Josh Simmons starts coming out of the bye.
That's assuming
case, so.
He's back. that's assuming, in that same hypothetical, that's assuming that Josh Simmons is available.
Which is still not something we have an answer on. They're communicating all the time.
Feels like there's progress in terms of, I think, clearly you guys remember their initial reporting was there was frustration, lack of communication. And then last week, Andy was very clear to say that, oh, it's not a negative. We're communicating. Like, they wanted to emphasize that. And now Albert Breer has reports saying the communication as of late has been good. It tells you that initially the frustration was around they weren't able to get in touch with the individual.
Yeah,
that's what it sounds like.
It is still a very odd situation.
Come up in 20 minutes, Josh Klingler, who will be on the sideline in Buffalo. We'll check in with him and find out. He's been to Buffalo a few times now, but we were looking at the weather forecast for Sunday yesterday, and looks like it's not going to be as brutal as some of the other Buffalo games have been. As of now, 50 degrees or so.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
For Buffalo? You could have a blizzard
Indy.
By now.
Someone says Denver, not Indy. Whatever. You get the point, right? Denver, not Indy. Same thing. Yeah, exact same hypothetical applies. Thank you, text line. All right, let's get to random question.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Text line 913-586-7965. Of course, the random question today is brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. You can hit us up on the chats, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. Try to interact with you there. The text line is back up and running now, so
thank
you can
goodness.
See your text for that as well. I'm asking this question specifically because I was asked for something, and I think it's appropriate knowing that we are not yet to Halloween on Friday, till Friday. My question for you is, when do you start shopping for Christmas or Hanukkah or any of the other, let's say, end-of-the-year style holidays? Because I got asked for what I wanted for Christmas this week. I will point out that it is October 29th. I've told my kids, I guess, based on that thing, I guess I'll make my kids.
You got asked as well.
So the question I have for you is, when do you personally start looking at what you're purchasing for for Christmas or, whatever your...
Yeah, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa.
Whatever you celebrate, they land in a similar
not
time.
Not now,
frame.
I'll tell you that.
When's
not,
Hanukkah this year? Is it early or late
December
in the month?
December 14th is the first
night,
I believe.
Mid-December.
Not until, Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving? That's late. That
no,
feels
it's
late.
Not. That's 2 weeks before. That's a month. That's almost a month before Christmas.
That feels like I'm kind of late in the game if I'm making
really?
Late that long.
Yeah,
do you guys
I
mostly
agree.
Exchange? You guys get we together on Christmas. You exchange mostly on that day, despite the fact, obviously, so you get together for some Hanukkah days.
So, like, my nephews, they still do the every night present thing. But as far as when we can all get, because everybody's off of work, we do one big gift exchange still, even though, because us all getting
and you
together
do it on Christmas
for,
because everybody's off.
Everybody's off. Sure. Some years it overlaps and it's on, like this year, the last night is Christmas Eve, actually. Anyway, okay, long story. Anyway, whatever. People don't care about
so
that.
So you're saying Thanksgiving?
Yep.
I'm thinking like 2 weeks. Drew, where are you at?
So I was asked by my parents, like, hey, you know, you guys need to make in some of your Christmas lists here soon. So
yeah,
I would say by a week before Thanksgiving, because obviously the Black Friday deals and stuff
that's
like that.
That's why I say Thanksgiving. Black Friday.
Yeah, but that feels like cramming at the end of a week for a test or something
cramming
like that.
Cramming is like, you know, I shopping on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, but in terms of like getting the best deals, like if you're looking up and coming up with your list on Thanksgiving evening, like I like to have it done before then.
Okay, Z Lopez over on Twitch says Thanksgiving traditionally Black Friday is around they start. So they picked up early tickets this year because her daughter wanted a good Nutcracker.
Okay,
that is also I very rarely buy my kids something that has to be executed before. Like normally, it's like, if they want to go to something for a Christmas related thing, I always feel like it's like if they want to, like my daughter asked when she can go to another concert.
Gotcha.
And I said, I don't know. Like, what kind of concert do you want to go to? And so like, I was looking at tickets for that, but I wouldn't choose something that's like December 20th for the concert.
How many people do you think are going to get tickets to the Christmas night game on Christmas Day?
Oh, a bunch.
How many people?
Bunch.
How many
bunch.
People is that happening?
That's a common one because you do the big Christmas thing at 8 a.m. You're like, you're going to the Chiefs game tonight. Mm-hmm. Woo. Yeah, of course, man. Yeah. That's a layup.
Yeah.
Like, easy. If your kid's been asking to go to a Chiefs game and you're willing to spend the hundreds of dollars it takes to go there, easy gift. Makes sense, especially if you know that that's something they want, is to go to sporting events.
And every family's going to be different on that. Some people...
Families don't like to.
We'll be like, hey, nobody's going to the game, kind of thing. You know, it's.
What's weird is all of my things that I do now have almost exclusively gotten off Christmas Day. My family gets together the day after Christmas. Her family gets together on Christmas Eve. Christmas Day is almost exclusively
just you guys,
which is crazy because I used to go 4 different places on Christmas.
Oh gosh.
When my parents were divorced and I was a kid.
Oh okay.
We were at my dad's house in the morning. We would then go to between Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. We went to my great uncle John's on Christmas Eve all night, lit the candles, did the whole thing at Herb Brookside. Christmas morning at my dad's, Christmas midday at my mom's, and then we had to be my grandparents Christmas afternoon. Mm. And then we'd go,
that sounds terrible.
It was a lot. So I'll tell you, I don't hate my plan now, which is just be at home while my kids have new, fresh things to entertain themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Does not sound like the worst thing of all time.
Someone from the 816 texting in saying, the wife starts getting gifts on Amazon in the summer. The gifts are hidden in the closet for months now.
Amazon in the summer? I mean,
that's, you know, good for you.
I don't want to hide
good
them
for
that
you.
Long.
That's a long time to take up space.
What are we thinking budget-wise? What should I be spending per kid?
Everybody's going to... This
it depends on what they want, I think. But I'm saying if they're asking for one thing that's as expensive as the other kid's three things, I think you're obliged to get. I think the kid who's asking for only one thing that's expensive,
you're
obliged to get one
extra
thing.
If it's like this year you're getting them the PS5, right? Or Switch.
Yes. Everybody's answer is going to be different on this. I mean, that just depends on how many kids somebody has and all kinds of sorts, you know, factors. But
I try to keep it to like 200-300. I feel like that's going to be almost impossible as they become teenagers and every single item costs like $100.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a lot harder to keep that budget, but I try to keep it to that range.
Yeah. Buying stuff for two of my nephews now is so easy. So easy.
Now,
like, because they're now, yeah, they're getting like, it's not toys and stuff. It's now, yeah, it's a lot of it is just getting cards and cash. That's what they want. They want cards and they want cash.
From the 314 says, Cody, any updates on your son's love life? They're not in the same class. I feel like
it's over.
Fizzled. It's fizzled. He did lament one time this year where he felt like he was getting stuck in another situation where someone was trying to make him choose between two people. As in, he had two friends who said, I don't want you to play with that friend, and the other friend vice versa for them. And he said, this is exactly what happened with her. I was like, it's all right, man.
Yeah.
It'll all sort itself out. But to this point, it appears that relationship has fizzled.
Back to the random questions people were saying. They have 6 daughters under the age of 12. I can't tell you how much money I spend every year.
6 daughters under the age of 12. Do you DoorDash? How the hell do you pay for it? I'll just tell you right now. I'm going to take the money from one of those UMKC checks and just be like, well, Christmas is bought.
There you go.
Like, I'm going to take that part-time job money. I guess, not real teaching based on what Miss Dugan had to say to me.
That's correct. Yeah,
if you guys missed last Friday, I couldn't believe it. I thought a fellow teacher would stand behind me. I said, am I a real teacher? She said, no.
Yeah, I thought she was completely spot on there, Cody.
It hurt. It hurt, Cold. I'm not going to lie. I think Drew was happy.
This is why you're not a real teacher.
This is why you're not a real teacher.
I think that, so this question's interesting. A question within the random question. From the 816. Okay. From the 816, is it morally wrong to use a gift card I got as a gift to buy somebody a completely different Christmas present?
So, like, you're saying 6 months earlier it was your birthday, you got a $150 gift card to Target, and then you use that $150 gift card to buy a gift?
No, that's money.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah,
that's
nothing wrong with that at all.
Good as cash.
Yeah.
If you gifted, now here's the thing. If you got a $50 gift card for your birthday and then just gave him the same $50 gift card, I actually say that would be out of bounds, don't you?
I agree. I think that's worse.
Right?
I agree.
Yeah, I think somehow it's worse.
You actually have to get something from it. Yeah. Someone was responding to the gentleman that said he has six daughters under the age of 12.
Yeah.
And someone says, well, he clearly doesn't wrap the gifts.
Uh-oh.
It's a great text.
I don't know how, I come from a large family. I don't know how you do it.
How do you afford having six kids is what you're saying?
Afford is one. Two is you have to watch your kids more than you had to watch your kids in the 80s or 90s. So I think that creates a different dynamic of what it is like to have a bunch of kids. So like that part, you can't just like, you know, we fit in a car when we were kids gold. We all rode in the back of the station wagon with no seatbelts on or the bed of a truck. You know how many times I rode in the bed of a truck as a kid to get somewhere? You can't put a kid in the bed of the truck now. You can't live life like this. You can't even get all your kids to one place. You need a passenger van.
When's the last time you hopped in the back of a truck and just rode?
And rode somewhere?
Yeah.
Oh.
I did in July.
July? Oh, Outer Banks?
Yeah. Classic.
How far, though?
Four or 5 miles.
Oh, that's... It's been a long time since I did that. I don't know. Not teenage years, but like...
Are we sure Banks not texting from the 913? Gift giving is pointless. Basically exchanging money.
Number. Yeah,
older I get, the more I hate it.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That guy really doesn't like shopping for him.
No.
See that.
What's crazy is this question happening is like, we are about to turn to November. It's nuts. Like, we're about to be at the end of the year. The end of the year is almost here.
Yeah, I just asked you a question about Christmas for the random.
Yeah, we're starting to see Christmas commercials start to flow in with
that's
snow and
2026.
Everything.
2026.
Like, Drew, was your mom a homemaker costume for Halloween type? I don't know why. I just felt like the Nixons might be they sewed their own costumes together.
Yeah. It wasn't a go out. Yeah, we never went to like Spirit Halloween or anything like that. It was typically something that we either already had or she would make the costume.
Yeah, my parents, we didn't. Did you?
Maybe once, maybe twice.
We've made a couple over the years, but it's pretty, like my daughter's costume this year is piecemealed like real clothes because of the character she is.
Okay.
So like we didn't make it, but it's also not like off the rack from like Spirit Halloween or Target or wherever.
Some of that stuff is crazy.
Somebody
expensive.
Did have a suggestion for you, Cody, what you should dress up as on Friday.
Really?
What's your suggestion?
Yeah. Somebody suggested you be Chauncey Billups because of the poker stuff that's going on.
Well, then what? I got to dress up as an FBI agent?
I guess in that case you would.
I would.
Sure. That would be a good. That'd be a really good.
I mean,
costume for the both of you, like a costume set for the both of you.
More,
that'd be great.
That'd be more currently relevant than the number of people who are going to dress up like the Coldplay couple.
Yeah, that's been months.
That's
you know
also
that's
going to
be a pop because it's a lazy Halloween costume too.
Coldplay couple.
All they
got
to do is put on a quarter zip
and then just hug each other throughout the night.
I understand that, but this goes back to my original take on that. Oh. It's ridiculous that you feel obliged. Because I felt bad for them and everything. I know the whole situation is obviously not good.
They both made that choice. They both did it to themselves.
I understand that. Mm-hmm. I understand
nobody did
that.
It to them.
But you do not need to dress up as Halloween as those two individuals.
That's how societal,
ridiculous.
You know, something that happens in a given year becomes, for that year, like 5 years from now, nobody's going to care about the Coldplay couple. But right now, for Halloween, it makes sense. I agree with Cody that like the actual current event thing, obviously Chauncey Billups is more relevant, but
I think in order to make the Chauncey Billups one really work, you got to figure out a way.
Someone
to,
says, "Gold, why the FBI agent? You couldn't you just be a member of the mafia instead in the costume?"
Jeez.
An FBI agent is way easier of a costume to go find.
You guys should both bring cards with you on Friday, and if you
that's
guys,
not
if
my
you
costume, I already have mine
way,
figured out for a remote. I already have
right.
it.
Yeah, you do.
It's also an easy costume, so it's also a pretty easy one, and I think it's relevant as well.
There you go.
That's
we'll
the
see you out there
today.
Blue Springs on Friday at Community America, where Alex and I have agreed to do it. I think there's going to be a lot of the same ones. The Coldplay couple, the Pope, but as a White Sox fan, will probably be a thing.
There'll be still a lot of Taylor and Travis in Kansas City.
A lot of, so much Travis and Taylor, I think, will exist. So that's going to be there. I'm just trying to think about what other ones. Those are going to be the most popular.
I did see there were...
Just like the timely ones.
There was a, I don't know who, I think it was a some sort of, not football, not sports analyst, but somebody and their wife were dressing up as...
Louvre Jewel Thief is also going to be massively popular.
You think? You think in the United States?
Some costume jewelry and a...
You think?
In this example, the lady dressed up as, the number 6, and then the guy dressed up as the number 7.
6-7,
And someone said maybe those two single-handedly will ruin the joke and it'll just be over.
The second the parents get a hold of it, we can affect...
However, Xavier Worthy did celebrate that as a part of his touchdown, I believe.
And the fans responded back, too. It was great. He was mic'd up talking about that.
All right, that's your random question of the day.
Up next, Josh Klingler. We'll find out what he's doing for Halloween. His kids are growing up now, though, but we'll find out if he's doing anything for Halloween, and we'll talk to him about this Chiefs performance and heading into another showdown with the Bills on Sunday.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
It's QB week. Baltimore's Lamar Jackson, Minnesota's J.J. McCarthy, and Arizona's Kyle Murray are all expected to be back in action for each of their squads after missing time with injury.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates. Presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sportsbooks, an injury ruins your whole football parlay. But not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play Insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
ARK Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season, streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount Plus.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus, the next generation of advanced trading from Fidelity. Customize your tools and charts and access them seamlessly across desktop, web, and mobile. For faster trades anywhere you go, try the all-new Fidelity Trader Plus. Learn more about our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/traderplus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.